And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer him from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impotence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives, and to the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
You just sang them. Great is thy faithfulness. Have you seen God's faithfulness in your life? We look to the Lord, our hope. When we are not faithful, he remains faithful. We are going to look at Psalm 46 this morning, a wonderful psalm. Some of you were here last week. We handed out a sermon schedule for the rest of the summer. You can also find that at the welcome desk. And I failed to mention, I see Ellen Hood in the balcony, that his class has been canceled today after the service, just so you are aware. But we are preaching through the Gospel of John and the book of Colossians over the next months. Next Sunday, I have a very good friend who will be here preaching. He is a humble, godly man. You want to be here. I commend him to you. He will be preaching through Psalm 1. His name is Craig Ware. We studied together in seminary, and he is a biblically faithful preacher. He will challenge you. He will speak God's word to you and encourage you and build you up. This morning, we will find the same in God's word. We come to Psalm 46, a wonderful psalm, and I want to invite you to pray with me as we ask God to open it to us this morning. Father, we confess that you are faithful. In the words of this song, that we confess that great is your faithfulness. You are the great King above all. And Father, where our tongues cannot express the truth of who you are, I pray that you fill our minds and our hearts with this truth, that our prayer will rise from our very being, not just the words on our tongues, but worship with our lives. Father, now as we come to your word, as every Sunday, we believe that men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from you, God, and that as the Holy Spirit opens this word again this morning, you will speak again. I pray that you will dig around in the soil of my own soul and all of us gathered here today, that the seed of your word would be planted deep in our hearts and our minds, that we would know you, and that we would walk with you. So, Father, open your word. Let us hear and understand and walk in its transforming truth. And we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Psalm 46, likely a familiar psalm to many of you, and if not, hear the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has wrought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. In the Bible, God is revealing himself to us. In the Bible, God is preaching God to us so that we would know him. But the Bible is not given to us just that we would grow in knowledge of God. It is so that we would be engaged with God. For example, there's many parts to the Bible. There is wisdom literature. But wisdom literature is not given to us just so that we will be wise, although that is its effect. It's so that we will trust God. Think about Proverbs. The very beginning of Proverbs, it says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And we like to take the strength out of that phrase. But you know what the fear of the Lord means? It means the fear of the Lord. Don't be afraid of those who can destroy your body, but fear the one who is able to destroy your body and soul. It means that somehow God is over all. All-powerful, sovereign over all the universe. That he is the one that we will one day answer to. Every human that has ever lived and walked on this planet. God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, we will hear in this passage. Proverbs says the beginning of wisdom is to recognize this God, the fear of the Lord, who he is, Almighty God. And it matters, because in chapter 3 it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Why? Because he is the sovereign God of all. That not only is he the Lord of the universe, almighty, above all powers, he is the God we can trust. You see how the Bible is not just giving us information. Expository preaching is not just exposing information that you can go home with and say, ah, now I know more about God. But will you walk in that truth? Will you trust him as God? That's Psalm 46. Look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What I love about this verse is its certainty. I read it with great conviction. I believe it. God is, not he might be. You see the corporate in that one little phrase, he is our refuge and strength. A refuge is a safe place, a place you can run and be protected from the enemies. You are perfectly safe in God, our refuge. But he's not just a place to run and hide. What does it say? He is a refuge and a strength. He is our strength. He gives strength to the feeble heart. In our weakness, his power is made perfect. Not only that, he is present. And that is why we have his strength and refuge. But he's not just present. Look at verse 1. He is present to help. But he doesn't just remove your trouble. If you think your prayer is, oh God, I'm having a hard time, would you just take away this affliction? The Apostle Paul prayed 3 times, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Do you see how this psalm is not just information? Look at verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. See, if you know who God is, you have confidence. You will trust him. This psalm is clearly divided in 3 sections. You noticed as I read it, I paused after the word Selah every time. If you are studying the Psalms, this is a little bit of a hint for you. Whenever you see the word Selah, basically scholars don't know what it means. So the hint is you should stop and consider it. You should pause. In fact, this is a song. Look at the title of the psalm. According to Elymas, the song. It was a song that was sung in worship in the church. And often the Psalter is recognized as the songbook. And here, the sons of Korah, the descendants of the same people who caused a rebellion against Moses and God's person. What a powerful little title of the redemption, even of those who rebelled. There were those who worshiped God and were still serving in the temple. But if it's a song, and many of the scholars will say it either means a crescendo or it's some kind of a musical notation. It's to tell guys like Bruce and our worship leaders, this is where you really belt it out. Or it's a division of the different phrases or different stanzas of the song. Or maybe it's to pause. In fact, that's what most scholars believe. It's a break in the psalm. And clearly, it's 3 main ideas. Look at it. Verse 1 to 3, Selah. Stop. Pause. Consider. As I've read through the psalms, this has often slowed me down enough to think and pray. Verses 1 to 3 is a whole section. Verse 4 to 7 is a whole section, Selah. Verse 7 and 11 are exactly the same. It's almost like you come to the chorus of the song. And so it makes sense that that is how we should understand it. In the first section, we have this powerful description of verse 1 that I just gave you. And the response to who God is that as a result of knowing who God is and our confidence, we will not fear. And then he gives a list of all these descriptions of everything that is moving. In fact, if you will understand Psalm 46, the way to understand this psalm is by considering how everything is shaking and moving. It's the great fixed points of the earth. Look at it. Though the earth gives way, the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea. Its waters roar and foam. No kidding. As mountains come crashing down into the ocean. This is poetic language. It's a cataclysmic event. The words are strong in the Hebrew. At the very end, the mountains are trembling. It's like an earthquake. This is the psalm that Martin Luther wrote that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And he said to his friends, let's sing the 46th and let the devil do his worst, because he had a mighty fortress in God. John Wesley preaching in Hyde Park in England, preaching up a storm and people are distracted and there is a small earthquake. Guess what John Wesley does? Turns to Psalm 46 and he says, though your world is crashing, there is a place that is not moving. And that's the difference between section 1 and section 2. Do you see it? Everything is moving and we need to stop and consider it. Selah. And it's poetic language, so It is talking about this picture of the universe. All of us run to the places that we feel secure in. What is it? Is it your family? Is it your finances? What you've saved for the future? Is it your career, your accomplishments? All of it can shift. Where do we find our confidence? What is amazing to me in this first section is that not only do we consider that God is our confidence, but we must consider that what we expect to be secure, the great fixed points of the earth, the mountains, are shaking and absolutely, in this cataclysmic language, moving and trembling. But look at the second section. The complete opposite in verse 4. The absolute opposite poetic description. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. A serene little stream. And I'm a fly fisherman, and I am just thinking of heaven. In the beauty of that quietness, that's what we're meant to see. Why? Why do I believe that? Look at the words. It is the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Some of your versions of the Bible say the dwelling of God. It's the place where God is. God dwells with his people. And look at the very first line of verse 5. God is in the midst of her. Just so you're not confused, it's the calm and the peaceful place is the place where God is. What is this? It's saying the same message. God is a present help. In the second section, it's saying the exact same thing. God is in the midst of her, in this secure place. And what is the next description in verse 5? She will not be moved. It's the exact same word that is used to describe the earth, the mountains that are moved at the end of verse 2, but the place where God is secure. It is not moved. And at the end of verse 5, he says, God will help her. It's exactly the same, isn't it? God is a present help. But it's not without trouble. In the same section, in verse 6, now it's not just the earth that is roaring and shaking in this powerful picture. It is the nations themselves. And it is the exact same word. If you could compare it in Hebrew, you would see what it is saying. The nations rage is the same as verse 3. The waters roar. Mankind stands up as if he can shake his fist at God. The kingdoms totter. Guess what? Exact same word as the mountains that are trembling. The nations and the kingdoms are absolutely fragile. God simply speaks, and the earth melts. Like snow in the brightest heat of a Mexican sun, God's voice destroys all the powers and kingdoms of this earth. And then this powerful description in verse 7, the Lord, Old Testament Yahweh, God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. This is a military term. It's the idea that he is the God of a host of angels, the army of angels, that God himself is the captain of hosts, the Lord of hosts. And how is he described in verse 7? He is with us. And the God of Jacob. Why the God of Jacob? Because he is a God of promise. It is the same promise that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we read the passage about Jacob where he wrestled with God. Bless me. And we somehow think that he got the blessing because he wrestled with God. That is not the case. God made a promise to Abraham that was then fulfilled in Isaac and then fulfilled in Jacob. The only thing Jacob got out of wrestling with God was that he was permanently scarred. God fulfilled his promise to Jacob because God promised to Abraham. And he is a God who keeps his promise. What is the issue with Jacob? He has a hard time believing God. And so on the brink of return into the promised land, what is he doing? He is shaking in his boots. He is afraid to meet his own brother Esau. But God will keep his promise. And the God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Don't we need to contemplate that? Consider it. My dear friends, I don't know about your world, how you are here today, the places you run to for security and significance are fragile. Those we love, we will lose. The things we put all our trust in will disappoint. Maybe it's not even visible. Maybe your life is all together and everything about you is confidence and success. But in the inner part of your soul, there are little tremors every once in a while. Every once in a while, there is the truth of your sin that you struggle with, and the tremor begins to shake your soul. And there is fear. There is a quiet stream, a place where God is. That is secure. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What is this psalm saying to us? It is not just that you would know something about God, that I would know something about God, but that I would put my trust in this God. Then we come to the very final section, and do you hear the invitation of it? It is a wonderful psalm. Come. I invite you, come. And look what he says at the end, at the beginning of verse 8. Come and behold the works of the Lord. And then the pronoun he, all the way through this. He brought desolation. He makes war seed. He breaks the bow. He burns the chariots. It's not just that God is running around Palestine breaking little bow and arrows and no, it's all the effects and all the wisdom of man, all the attempts of human effort. God speaks and he is able to control. And then here in this psalm, in verse 10, we come to the center of it all. God speaks. Are you listening? Look at verse 10. Be still. Why here? Why is that verse here in this psalm? Because everything else is shaking. Everything else in the universe is fragile and is like shaking and out of control. And there is only one place where we can be still is when we know who the Lord is. Be still and know that I am God. And then he says, I will be exalted. It's future tense in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It is a future promise. The God of Jacob will keep his promise. And then it ends with the chorus. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Consider. Selah. Pause. Do you know this trust? The psalm we read in the service, do you remember? Trust in him, Psalm 62. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. It's like Psalm 23, isn't it? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. The place of security and peace is in the presence of God. And this is our hope. Will you pray with me? Father, we confess that ultimately this is answered in Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, I pray that this morning for those who are experiencing the tremors of fear and anxiety and insecurity in their lives, for our brother John Teebe, who has just lost his wife, for those of us who know in our inner being, beyond just what people see on the external, and the little tremors in our soul, that we know we need your grace. Father, let us rest securely in you alone. You are our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Build your church. Give us confidence and strengthen your church, that we would not just know these things, but that we would trust in you as we walk with you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.